The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings. When your relapsing multiple sclerosis begins to change, how you treat it should change too. Think beyond relapses and choose a treatment that can help delay disability progression. Find out more at changesinrms.com.
My name is Jennifer Powell. I am a columnist with Multiple Sclerosis News Today. Today, I will be discussing how nerve tissue scarring may explain MS progression. Nerve tissue scars associated with multiple sclerosis show marked differences from those of similar neurodegenerative disorders, according to a recent study. MS-associated inflammation causes brain and spinal cord lesions that are often bigger and last longer than those of two other demyelinating diseases, myelin oligodendrocyte glycoprotein antibody-associated disorder and aquaporin poor antibody-positive neuromyelitis optica spectrum disorder. According to the study's authors, this may explain why MS patients develop progressive disability, while patients with the other two disorders do not. The difference in scarring that we found will help physicians distinguish these three diseases more easily to aid in diagnosis. Eolin Flanagan, a Mayo Clinic neurologist and senior author of the study, said in a press release. More importantly, Flanagan continued, our findings improve our understanding of the mechanisms of nerve damage in these three diseases and may suggest an important role of such scars in the development of long-term disability in MS. The study, Comparison of MRI Lesion Evolution in Different Central Nervous System Demyelinating Disorders, was published in the journal Neurology. The three disorders, MOGAD, AQP4-NMOSD, and MS, all involve inflammation that leads to the loss of myelin, the insulating protein found wrapped around neurons. Only MS, however, features progressively increasing disability. Understanding the difference between these disorders could shed light on a more effective therapy. In search of answers, a team led by researchers at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, reviewed patient records pertaining to all three disorders, looking for what set the scars apart in each disorder. Specifically, they examined whether inflammation led to scarring and whether scarring might explain disability progression in MS compared to the other conditions. The team identified 156 patients, 67 of whom had MS, 51 had AQP4-NMOSD, and 38 MOGAD. Altogether, these patients accounted for 172 attacks or relapses. Researchers found that demyelinating lesions in MOGAD tended to resolve completely, despite often being of large size and accompanying acutely severe impairment. This observation is in line with the favorable long-term outcome reported in most MOGAD patients. Lesions associated with AQP4-NMOSD, in contrast, appeared smaller in size and symptom severity to those seen in MOGAD, but rarely resolved completely. Despite large reductions in size over time, small scar regions remain visible by MRI. These results are consistent with the incomplete recovery and stepwise attack-related disability accumulation reported in AQP4-NMOSD patients. Finally, MS-associated lesions were comparatively smaller and accompanied less severe attacks. Areas of inflammation, however, decreased only moderately and rarely resolved completely, even after symptoms of an attack had disappeared. The reasons behind these differences remain unclear, but the researchers speculated that persistent lesions seen in multiple sclerosis, especially when present in critical locations of the brain and spinal cord, may serve as focal points for disability progression. The tendency of some MS lesions to remain chronically active between relapses could support this hypothesis, the researchers wrote. Furthermore, the study identified differences in treatments that could have implications for how well lesions resolve. The team noted, for instance, that a relatively small proportion of MS patients received anti-CD20 therapies, such as Ocrevus and Kesimpta, although these might be more beneficial in terms of MS lesion resolution. Further studies will better clarify the specific impact of different acute and maintenance immunosuppressive agents. Overall, our study highlights the importance of the currently available MS medications that very effectively can prevent attacks, new lesions, and subsequent scar formation, said Elias Sechi, MD, the study's first author. According to the team, the study also has implications for diagnosis, monitoring disease activity, and clinical trial design, while also providing insight into pathogenesis of central nervous system demyelinating diseases.
You always do what you can to keep your relapsing multiple sclerosis in check, but if your relapsing MS is starting to change, it can affect your mind and body in new and different ways. So it's important to choose a treatment that goes beyond relapses, one that can help you stay ahead of disability progression. Take charge of your relapsing multiple sclerosis. Learn more at changesinrms.com.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading the column by Jennifer Powell, Silver Linings. MS doesn't get to decide whether we are enough. Change is the only constant in life. A quote paraphrased from Greek philosopher Heraclitus states, "This ancient wisdom still prevails today. Life is in a constant flux. We evolve, we grow, we shift, and we are never the same. When I suffer, I cling to this knowledge. And when I fear that I'm stagnating, it offers me perspective. Secondary progressive MS commands that I adapt. I try to keep it simple because it's easy for me to complicate matters. I sometimes overthink, overanalyze, deconstruct, and so forth. But to what avail? My house of cards is precarious. Unless I am flexible, a crash is inevitable. I do not find solace in the decision to dominate MS. I do not find peace in the decision to acquiesce to MS. Peace within exists in the ability to move with the ebb and flow of life. It can only happen on a day-to-day basis, and sometimes even minute by minute. When I manage my disease in kind, I can then manage myself. I repeat the serenity prayer. It takes courage to live with multiple sclerosis. Those of us with this disease are strong, all of us, even you, especially you. I dedicate this to you. You may feel defeat, exhaustion, grief, and loss, and yet you are strong. Your strength is not contingent upon your multiple sclerosis. They are mutually exclusive. Your decision to try again is tenacious. Your ability to remain open is your fortitude. You are enough. I examine my own ability to persevere. MS does not define that ability. I do. The pain, fatigue, insomnia, and cog fog unravel me from inside out. However, none of these aspects defines me. Only I can do that. Does this disease bring me to my knees? Yes, but that moment is transient. My father offers sage wisdom in his words, "This too shall pass." And it does. It can take time, but it does. You are more than your MS. I am too. Multiple sclerosis will always be part of who we are, often more than we would like. But it doesn't replace you. You are still there. Recognize the light that shines from within yourself. Perhaps that light is nothing more than a spark right now. But much like a pilot light, it never ceases to exist. If your light is low, borrow a flame and reignite yours. We are here to illuminate one another.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.